Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Redmen TV. And thank you for choosing to watch this show, where I speak to the brilliant Neil Jones about the prospect of Ruben Amorim coming in as Liverpool manager to succeed Jurgen Klopp. We spoke about what he might bring to the party, how close that deal is to being done, and where he might look to go in the transfer market as well. If you enjoy this show, make sure to head to redmenplus.com, use the code RACE, sign up as a captain yearly subscriber, and you will get all our boss content for half price. Take it easy. See you soon.
Manager hunt, as ever. And listen, it seems to be developing by the minute, let alone the hour. From Portugal, loads of different journalists having their say on it. Vitor Romano was speaking about it this morning. But it does appear, Neil, I mean, I say this, it does appear on the face of it that all roads lead to Ruben Amorim. Fabrizio Romano was claiming that talks have taken place. We had Plettenberg suggesting this morning that there was a verbal agreement in principle already there. What's your take on all this? And I believe the club have kind of pushed back on that ever so slightly.
I wouldn't even say ever so slightly. Quite firmly dismissed that the idea that anything's been agreed with anyone, and even that the idea that a front runner or a preferred candidate has even been identified at this stage. Whether you believe that or not, that's up to you, but that's the Liverpool stance on it. Obviously, there's a lot of talk from Portugal this week about meetings that take place, and I'm sure meetings are taking place with managers, with players at this stage. Obviously, come the end of the season, and the one thing about the Amorim stuff at the moment, there doesn't seem to be any suggestion of an alternative at this stage. There's a lot of Alonso, there's a lot of Amorim, but there doesn't seem to be an idea that, well, there's also, De Zerbi was quite strongly dismissed as a candidate. There's others that have been sort of fleetingly mentioned, but very, very, very few that you've thought, that might be a possibility. So it does, I think you've got it on the agenda, all roads lead to Amorim. I think that's fair, but Liverpool, as I say, are denying the idea that anything's close, anything's agreed, and even that he is the guy that they've identified, that as far as their briefing concerned, they're still conducting their due diligence and going through the process of identifying their next manager.
Okay, interesting. Just on that then, I mean, I've been sort of racking my brain over the past week or so, I guess, and even prior to that with the Alonso stuff, because timeline-wise, obviously we know Jurgen Klopp announced what he announced. He felt like he needed to do that, and I don't really begrudge him that, and that's fair enough. But it does feel like, and I guess by Leverkusen in a similar boat when we were looking at Xabi Alonso, and likewise Sporting, obviously Sporting are going for Premier League honours and stuff like that, and obviously the Cup as well. Is there a good time for anyone, whether it be Liverpool, because we're going for, Sporting are doing what they're doing, is there a good time? How do you see this all planning out?
I know it's a really interesting one. I know Sporting took a big step towards the double, didn't they, last week? They got two big wins a win and a draw that took them through against Benfica in the Cup. So they've put themselves in a real good position now to certainly win the league and obviously into a final. Liverpool are still in a position where they can win the league. They've got another final potentially on the horizon as well. So I agree, it isn't ideal. I suppose I would have expected when Jürgen announced what he announced in January, I would have expected by the end of the season that you would have a firm idea of who Liverpool's next manager was going to be. And that might well be the case. There's still 6 weeks to go. But yeah, there is... If it was me, I'd be thinking, if Sporting and Lisbon wrap the league up and have the cup final to look forward to, maybe that would be the time when you say, well, there you go, look, this is his last game. So let's, or even the last league game, let's give him the send off that he deserves. I don't think it has any impact on Liverpool. Personally, I don't think okay, Ruben Amorim's coming in affects their title,
because we know we're getting a new manager.
So it's not like, oh wow, what, they're getting rid of Jürgen at the end of the season. You know, I don't think that affects anything from a Liverpool. I think it's more of a Sporting Lisbon, or Sporting Club de Portugal. We always have to get that right, and I go to great lengths now to try and get that right, having been told off many times. I think it's more of an effect that it might have on them and on him as well. You know, does he want that kind of spotlight at this stage? You know, when he's trying to get his crowning glory, really, at the club. You know, he's had success previously, but this would be his masterpiece, wouldn't it? You know, with supporters in the stadium, a league and cup double. And then obviously off into the sunset potentially. So I think it would be more from that side of it. But you know, obviously as fans and as journalists and as pundits and as observers, we want some clarity, don't we, about Liverpool. We want to know who the manager's going to be. And I know there's a question down below from the Discord about that. It's a really difficult one to answer. But the more clarity you get soon enough would be helpful. I'm not sure it will. I will get my wish that it's all confirmed by the end of the season.
No, that's it. And it's interesting. We'll come to the Discord question now, because it is on the topic. It's very on brand. To be honest with you, I asked the Discord this morning, and pretty much the instant five replies were of a very similar ilk in terms of what if or when Amorim takes over. Is he likely to bring any players from Sporting? That was some signs. Yeah. The variants of that were, who might he be targeting for his philosophy and all that sort of stuff. I guess, you know, the obvious answer, not the obvious one maybe, but the one that sort of stands out would be Iheanacho, given we were linked to him last summer.
If he's going to stick to the philosophy, he plays a back three, doesn't he, or he plays with three centre backs. You could argue Liverpool have got the tools to play with three centre backs if he wanted, especially with Joe Gomez. I think Quance is quite adept playing in wide areas as well. I think Canate is quite adept playing in wide areas. You probably don't have a natural left side, although Gomez played left back enough. So yeah, you'd be looking at maybe him and Diamande, the two centre backs that have done particularly well this season. Iheanacho before that, I think Gonçalves has been linked a lot. Obviously I don't see him signing someone like Jokeres, who's been their top scorer, but he looks like he's been primed for a move. I think he's been linked with a lot of clubs. I mean, he was one that Everton were looking at, I think, when he was at Coventry. I wonder if they wish they'd have taken him now. But I think there's always this expectation when a manager takes over, and maybe it comes a little bit from Brendan Rodgers, before that maybe Roy Hodgson as well, that they're going to go straight back and get all the players. I remember when Klopp came in, and every week it was, he's going to get Royce. The sign Royce was going on for months, wasn't it, I think, with FSG, the hashtag. And he didn't really, did he? You know, he went back to Germany and he got Matip and he got Klavan and Karius.
Cater at some point.
Further down the line. But yeah, in his early days, it was very much, you know, he bought the players that he felt he needed rather than the players he knew. So I don't think it's clear and obvious that he's going to do it. But the interesting thing is that if he was to come in, and he's going to go for the same system that has been successful for him, and you know, he may well do that, then yeah, there will be a need, I think, to just change a couple of types of player, make a couple of signings that might be different to someone, would be different to, say, if Jürgen was staying for another season, because you might say, well, actually, we don't need as many centre backs. You know, if you're playing three, you probably need five, don't you, in your squad? Whereas maybe Jürgen's would be more midfielder heavy or even forward heavy. So I think it's intriguing. I sort of would quite. It'd be quite nice to see. I'd like the Egan to stay, but it'd be nice to see a different Liverpool where you've got actually, do you know what, let's see what this is going to look like. And you know, you might see certain other players become just suddenly unlocked and have different positions or have a greater role in the team. Mm-hmm. But I think the good thing about it, whoever comes in, but let's say it is Amorim, I think he's got a real squad of a good age and a good mm-hmm. level of flexibility that actually he can have a good look at a couple of systems if he wants to.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No, absolutely, and I'm with you, and it's almost, you know, you can't really say it because Jurgen Klopp's still the helm. We all adore Jurgen Klopp, but that'd be lying if I said there wasn't a little bit of me that is excited to see what a different coach, different manager
could
be.
Yeah.
Because, and I've said this a few times on different shows now, but because Jurgen Klopp has given us so much in terms of that never say die spirit, that mentality, and of course wonderful football. But if we bring in a manager who can just implement different ways of going about it, and maybe that possession hungry style, I think when we have a lot of possession in a lot of games, but sometimes there are different ways of doing it, and if we can harness what Klopp's given us added to a little bit of what a different coach and new ideas could bring, it's an exciting proposition.
Yeah, and there's a lot of players in the squad that we still haven't seen the best of, have we, you know, just so many. I mean, Bradley, Kwanzaa, Konate, probably McAllister starting to get there, but Szoboszlai, Elliot, Jones, Gravenberch, Bacetic, Clark, Jaden Danz,
yeah.
Darwin, you know, there's a lot of players that you look at and go, well, maybe not all of them are going to get to the very, very peak of where they're at, but, you know, there might be five or six of those that might, they're behind another player at this moment in time, but with a new manager, they might just come to the fore and you go, wow, I didn't know. You know, wow, you're talking about Harvey Elliott scoring 15 goals a season, or you're talking about Darwin, he doesn't miss anymore, or, you know. There's a lot of potential within this Liverpool squad, and obviously added to some new signings as well. Mm. It makes it exciting. It makes it, you know, there'll be nerves as well around. We're probably going to have to get our heads around the fact that you maybe don't win as often as we become used to under Klopp, and we don't go for quadruples. Maybe we have to swallow that, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that they can't be a very strong team and a very, very exciting team to watch. You know, his sporting teams tend to score a lot of goals and don't concede many, and that's not a bad combination to have, and especially if they're taking on, you know, clubs that traditionally have been more successful than they have, then the ingredients are there at least for, you know, excitement going forward.
No, it bodes well, it does. And just finally on him, I wanted to ask you, actually, it just popped into my head a moment ago. Been a lot made and a lot spoken about with Fabio Carvalho and maybe what the future holds for him.
I never even mentioned him.
He could be one that does benefit from this, it feels like. And I'm not saying he definitely needs a new regime, because who knows, had Klopp been staying, he might have come back, had a good pre-season, and life might have been fantastic under Jurgen Klopp, but he's enjoying a bit of renaissance. Obviously, we've seen a Hull, 2 goals again over the weekend. He definitely feels like one who could benefit from this fresh start.
Yeah. I mean, he made the decision at the start of this season that he wasn't going to get in, and I think he made a fair decision on that, because he looked and thought, well, where am I going to play? I think what we've seen at Hull that idea that he was ever going to be a number eight in a 4-3-3 seems to, I think that's gone. You know, he's not, doesn't look like that. He doesn't play like that. He hasn't played there. Liverpool don't really play with a number 10. He's probably not physically commanding enough to play as a number 9 in a Klopp side, and he's probably not quick and sort of dynamic enough to play wide in it. So yeah, he made a fair decision, I think, that I'm not going to get in. But if the system changes or the manager changes and the demands of the team change, then yeah, you know, then you start to look and say, okay, well, what where's the talent level? What about if he plays in there? Obviously, it's a big step from Hull, to, you know, from doing it at Hull, and he's done it before in a Championship, so we're not learning anything new that he can score goals in the Championship and impact games. We knew that before he signed. He'd done it at Fulham. But yeah, he'd certainly won it in the summer, in the pre-season. You'd say, well, okay, you know, if we're going to look, and there's a player here that you're looking at, he's a different type of player, but you're looking at Crescencio Somerville at Leeds, or you're looking at, you know, another good player from the Championship, Steffi Mavadidi or the likes. Well, let's have a look at this guy first and let's see what his levels are before we start, you know, going and signing players who've got similar pedigree or similar potential. We've already got one in the door. Let's have a look at him at least in pre-season. But it would be a hell of a redemption story. I say redemption, he hasn't really done anything wrong, but a hell of a sort of a journey if Carvalho was to become a part of Liverpool squad 2 years on from when he signed with such, you know, such high hopes.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And just finally on the Emery thing, I mean, we've said it there, it's clearly not cut and dried, but as you said, there aren't really any other guys. It felt like whilst the Alonso stuff was going on, there was always that little added online or that little tagline of, oh yeah, but Amorine's also in contention. That feels less, obviously they've kind of dismissed the De Zerbi thing, the Nagelsmann thing's gone quiet, he's obviously in the Germany role now. I can't see, as we sit here today, the alternative. No. It does feel all Amorim.
Yeah, it does. I mean, listen, no, of course, you know, it would, whoever it would be now, if it wasn't Amorim, would be, it would feel like a bit of a, whoa, you know, like a bit of a about
where
turn.
That come from?
Yeah, you know, and that would, it wouldn't be beyond Liverpool, you know, the way that they've done it in the past with signings and things like that. But it does, yeah, I go back to that, what's on the agenda there, but all roads lead to him. I think it does look like he's very much front and centre. It's just a tough managerial market at the moment, isn't it? It's not, you know, and it shows really, doesn't it, how quickly the world moves on. You know, you think of maybe when Jürgen signed that contract in 2022, you might have had Graham Potter in the frame, Steven Gerrard in the frame, you know, it might have been Pochettino in the frame. All of those have either, Ten Hag, another one, you know, all of those have either gone somewhere else or just not quite done what they were supposed to be doing or what they were expected to do. So every single candidate really at this moment in time looked like a gamble of some sort. I suppose, yeah, Amorim, 39, you know, a history of winning. I've competed in Europe, developed players, signed players, you know, language skills, communication skills. He maybe does tick most of the boxes or more of the boxes than others.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.